Zeche Nishmas Avi Mor Yaakov Yisrael Pilchas, Zeche Nishmas Daniel Hashem, and Rosh Yeshua Falach. Okay, a Freilich and Chanukah to everybody. And this is Erev Shabbos Chanukah. And for me, it's a very special occasion, because I was born on the second day of Chanukah. And, hey, you can put your film down. I was born on the second day of Chanukah, this type of year. This is a unique year, because we have one Shabbos Chanukah, only Parshas Vayeshev. Usually we have one Shabbos Chanukah, it's Miketz. Sometimes we have two Shabbos Chanukahs, it's Vayeshev and Miketz. But to have one Shabbos Chanukah that's only Vayeshev happens like one in 19 some odd years. I had it, and then I had a Talmud like some 19 years later who had it, and now this Shabbos Chanukah is a unique only Shabbos Chanukah that's only going to be a Shabbos Vayeshev. So that's always exciting for me, because that was my bar mitzvah year, Parshas Vayeshev, Shabbos Chanukah, and only one Shabbos Chanukah Vayeshev. So just a couple of things about we know there is a mitzvah to light Neiros Chanukah in your home. Bizman HaGemara, they lit a dafka outside, right? Bizman HaGemara, the Neiros Chanukah was dafka outside. In fact, the Gemara says that if you light inside your house, Bizman HaGemara, you weren't Yotze. You're not Yotze. That was what the Gemara says, that you had to light a dafka outside. There was a machlokas whether you light it outside, right outside the door of the house, or right outside the courtyard. Pesach Beso, Pesach Hatzeru, whatever the case was, it had to be outside. But the Gemara says if you lit the menorah inside the house, and then you brought it outside, you're not Yotze, because you lit it in the makom that's not roy for Neiros Chanukah, and therefore you're not Yotze, because you have to have the hadlaka in the makom that's roy for the mitzvah. And the Gemara says it's not roi to have the mitzvah inside. So then the Gemara says, but Bizman Hazeh, the Mibnei HaSakana, they change it. The Briskerov is quoted by Rav Torchin to say they made a new takana of Chanukah to light dafka inside. To light dafka inside. And that changed all of Hilchas Chanukah. That when the Gemara says that Bizman Hazeh minichu al shulchano v'dayo, You leave it on the... and that's what we do. We light at our dining room table. That's where we light Shabbos. That's where we light near Chanukah. Because that the Iker, Bizman Hazeh, the Iker Pesumei Nisa is for the Bnei HaBayis. Sometimes people try to light in the window and they get less Pesumei Nisa of the Bnei HaBayis. If you can get both, so Matov. But... And also, a lot of times when people light on windowsills and things like that, it's very narrow and it can chas v'shalom fall over, or the window shades can get on fire. You know, I always say that's the most important thing, is to light in a safe place. But the Iker Persumei Nisa Bizman Hazeh is for the Bnei HaBayis. So that's, we should always keep that in mind. And therefore, a lot of Hilchos Chanukah change based on this. Namely, that it used to be that if you didn't light Neiros Chanukah in the first half an hour after the Zman, then you weren't Yotze anymore. Because no, in the Zman HaGemara, no one was in the street anymore. They didn't have lamp, you know, electricity and things like that. So no one was in the street anymore. So Bevela, you had a light right away. You know, so it was very important to have the, to do it Bizman. Very important to do with Bizman. Today we should also try to do with Bizman, but it's not as crucial, because we're lighting for the Bnei HaBayis. So if the Bnei HaBayis come home later, you light later. You try not to eat. You're not supposed to have a meal before you light Neiros Chanukah, and before you do a mitzvah. You're never supposed to have a meal before you do a mitzvah, because you might forget to do the mitzvah. But Neiros Chanukah changed. That the whole focus from the Pirsumei Nisa Dafka to be for the B'nai Rishus HaRabim, then it changed. Now it's for the Bnei HaBayis. And therefore, there's the potential time that you could light the menorah also changed because of that. And it's interesting, we have a minhag, a very interesting minhag that we have, that we light in shul, right? It's a minhag to light Neiros Chanukah in shul. It's only a minhag, it's not brought down in the Gemara anywhere, to light in shul. Right, it's brought down in later in the Rishonim that they have a minhag brought down in Shulchan Aruch to light in shul. So we light in shul, and what's the reason we light in shul? So the Beis Yosef gives two reasons why we light in shul. One reason is because of the orchim, the people. It was Man HaGemara. There were people who, the shul wasn't only a place you daven. They had rooms in the shul for guests. You know, today we have guests. Shabbos guests means they come to your house and they eat with you and they sleep with you and you bring them to shul to daven. Like you go to shul to daven. That's what an oreich is. But Mizman HaGemara, oreich meant that he was passing through and he needed a place to stay. So he ate in the shul. He ate in the shul and he slept in the shul. Right? So that was the oreich in the time of the Gemara. So where is he going to light the menorah? Right? So that's why they lit the menorah in the shul for the people who were staying in the shul. Literally staying in the shul, not just coming to daven. So that's how they started having this idea of, and that's the same thing with Kiddush on Friday night. The Gemara says that the minhag to have Kiddush on Friday night in shul is for the same point, for the people to who are going to daven, who are going to stay in the shul as guests, so they can eat in the shul. So they need Kiddush. So then, the shul provided kiddush for them, and therefore the Rambam writes in a tshuva that even though b'zman hazeh, people don't eat in the shul, but just like chazar sashatz, we still do. What's chazar sashatz is for people who don't know how to daven, but if we go to shul and everyone knows how to daven, we still do chazar sashatz. Because that was once it became a takana, it stayed in place. So the same thing we have with Chazar Sashat, the same thing we have with Kiddush, Friday night. So that's what became the mitzvah of Hadlaka, the minhag to do in the Beis Knesses, became the same thing. But the Shulchan Aruch gives another reason. I mean, the Beis Yosef gives another reason why we light in the shul. And the Beis Yosef quotes from the Rivash. He says, you know why we light in the shul? We light in the shul because we used to have this tremendous Pirsumei Nisa. We lit outdoors. We lit outdoors. Tremendous Pirsumei Nisa to light outdoors. But now we don't. Now the Gemara says, "Meinicha al shulchano v'dayo." So we're missing a lot of Pirsumei Nisa because we're not lighting outdoors. So to make up what we're lacking in the Pirsumei Nisa by lighting indoors, then we light in shul because we're lacking in Pirsumei Nisa by lighting indoors. So therefore, we light and we don't light outdoors. So we put it. We light in the shul, and that's a different reason. Whereas the one reason was for the Orchim who stay in the shul, we light for them. And the other reason is because of the lack of Pirsumei Nisa, the Bizman HaGemara, like we said before, Yedavka had a light outside. Today we live Minicha al Shulchan V'dayo. So you have Pirsumei Nisa in your house, but you know, how big is your house? You know, some people, you know, Baruch Hashem, there are a lot of big families, but it's still not the shul. It's not the street. The street, you have all these people. It's interesting, there is a question in the poskim whether you could go back to the original minhag to light outside. So let's say you live in a nice neighborhood, there's no sakana anymore. So could you, or was it, could you now change back and light outside? Or do we say no? Once they made this new takana of menichu al shulchano v'dayo, you have to light out inside. If you light outside, you're not yotze. Now, if you go into Eretz Yisrael at Hanukkah, you know that a lot of people light outside. You have these fish tanks, and they light outside. You know, you go in the car in Hanukkah in Yerushalayim, you'll see all these chadlakas outside. Not so much in America. I mean, there are some communities, some people that still do it. So these are questions. So there is a sefer called Dvar Yoshua. Dvar Yoshua was a gon shebegoinim. Unfortunately, I would probably guess that most of you, if I'm probably never heard of him, and he was considered one of the Gedolei Hador. Dvar Yoshua, Rav Yoshua Ehrenberg. He was dying in Tel Aviv. He was considered one of the great Gedolim. So unfortunately, some people, people heard of. I try to hear of everybody, and I try to teach my Talmidim about to broaden their knowledge of, you know, some people have a very few Rabbanim they heard of, and but there's some other, you know. So Dayan Ehrenberg was one of the great, great Gedolim. You know what the Satmar Rebbe said? The Satmar Rebbe said, when he wrote his polemic against Zionism, he said, "I'm not afraid of anybody. I'm not afraid of anybody. I'll say it what I think. I'm not afraid of anybody, except for the Dvar Yeshua. He's the only one that I'm afraid of, that maybe he'll look at it and, you know, have a critique on me. But besides the Dvar Yeshua, I'm not afraid of anybody." So just so you understand who the Dvar Yeshua was, you can look him, you know, Google him. You'll see his greatness of the Dvar Yeshua. So he wrote Tshuvas where he paskined that you can't light outside anymore. Once the new takana was made, Achar HaSakana Menichu Al Shulchan V'dayu, you dafka have to light inside. That's what the Brisker Rav said. This was a new takana. In other words, Chanukah changed. Hanukkah changed. And it happens to be that Rav Yashiv, I'm sure you all heard of, Rav Yashiv disagreed with the Dvar Yeshua. Okay, but the Dvar Yeshua was a great person. Still, Rav Yashiv disagreed on this point. And that's the minhag in Eretz Yisrael today, is that many people light outdoors. You know, you see they have these fish tanks, so it shouldn't blow out, etc. Now, so the base, the lighting of the base Knesset is for these two reasons, either because of the Orchim or because of the lack of Pursume Nisa. So so the question is like this. You know, Shabbos Chanukah happens to be one of the earliest Shabbosim of the year. So, now, the minhag in most shuls will be light candles on Friday before Mincha. Because if you're going to light it after Mincha on Friday, you know, you might run into Shabbos. So we light it right before Mincha, then we daven Mincha, etc. But it's always very pressurized. It's always very pressurized. Because, as you know, on Friday, people are so busy, and so the question is, so say you're holding by davening mincha, and the minion's not there yet. The minion's not there yet, but you want to light the candles already. You're getting on edge, you know. You want to light the Hanukkah candles, so this way you can daven mincha, and then etc. So the question is, could you light the Shabbos the Hanukkah candles in shul before the minion came, before you have 10 people in shul? Because since it's for Pursume Nisa, for the rabbim, right? So maybe you can only light when there's 10 people. So the Magen Avraham says, no, you don't need 10 people. As long as 10 people will eventually come, that happens, right? Even though when you come to shul sometimes on Friday, you know, people aren't always there, you know, they're still, but as long as the Magen Avraham says, light now, a couple of people in shul, as long as the 10 people will trickle in later, that's good. Says Rav Yaakov Emden, the Morag Tzia, no. You need 10 people b'shas hadlaka. You shouldn't start lighting Neiras Chanukah unless in shul, unless there are 10 people already in shul. It's not enough to have 10 people there That's later on, like the Magen Avraham says, but the Rav Yaakov Emden says you need 10 people because this hadlaka is for the community. And you should have 10 people there, b'shas the hadlaka, because and if you don't have 10 people, you can't light. And you don't, obviously you can't mechal Shabbos either. So we try lechatchila at least. Look, you have the Magen Avraham to rely on if you don't have, and then the 10 people will trickle in later. But if you could fulfill, as I said, it's always Friday, Erev Shabbos, Chanukah, because people first have to make sure they light their own menorah at home. And they're always, it's a pressurized time. So try to do things earlier if you can. To do things so this way you get in your like your own menorah, you like the shul's menorah, so everything is done. So you have to just be a little bit careful to make sure to do so. And so some have the minig dafka to try to daven to daven mincha before. Before hadlaka on because in the Beis Hamikdash, right, the Korban Tamid was brought before the hadlakas haMenorah. So some say on Shabbos Chanukah we try to daven mincha early, but some people ad kedei kach will even daven bichidus this Shabbos, this Friday, to daven mincha before they light the menorah. Many shuls will have early minyanim for mincha, so then you can daven and then come back. But if you don't, it's not the end of the world if you're davening like regular. So that could be okay. Neris Chanukah is a din of Ner Yishu Beso. It's very unique that you can be. The simple pshat is you can be Yotze Neris Chanukah for the whole family. In other words, even if the whole family is not there. Whereas, again, let's do it. The Sfardim Shita is one menorah for the whole family. Right? That's. One menorah for the whole family. Yeah, that's the shita. I told you I like that shita, but that's the Sfarad. An Ashkenazi shita is to light the amount of people times the night. So if you have five people in your household, so five first night, 10 the second night, 15, and then Ramon made this new minig to that everyone lights on their own. Every member of the family lights on their own. Which is really no opinion that's brought down in the earliest shitas. Because the two shitas were either the Balabais lights one menorah, the first night one candle, the second night two candles, three candles. That's the minig of the Toisus, of the Ram, of the Sfardim. And Ashkenazim, the Balabais lights one. Obviously, you're not going to have a menorah that's going to fit so many candles, but you light the amount of candles that the amount of people in the house times the night. So the Rambam says, if you have 10 people in your house, the first night you light 10 candles, the second night 20, 30, until the last night you light 80. And the Ramah says, instead of the Balabais lighting all of them, you split it up and let everyone light their own menorah. And that became the minhag for Ashkenazim, even though it's the Sefer Galia Masechta thinks it's a bracha levatala, that who gives the right, because the Rambam never said that. Rambam just says one bracha for everybody, and just the Balabais will light the amount of people times the night that it is, 10, 20, 30, 40, until the last night, 80. But that became the minhag, to like the Ramoth, Ashkenazic Jewry, as I pointed out, to everyone light their own menorah. So there is a discussion, what if you're in a dormitory in yeshiva. Say you live in L.A. and you're in yeshiva in New York, or vice versa. So Rav Avadi Yosef says, if you're being supported by your family, you're still included in that menorah. So if you're a yeshiva boy, and you're a Sephardic yeshiva boy, and you're Baruch Hashem, you have parents who are lighting at home, wherever that home may be, you don't have to light the menorah. Or you shouldn't light the menorah, meaning you can't make a bracha. That was Rav Avadi Yosef's tshuva. There's always a question in yeshivas, where should I light the menorah? It's always a whole tumult, where should you light the menorah? When I was growing up in yeshiva, we lived in the room, you know, but then people, that became not such a safe thing to do anymore, and that was banned a long time ago. So then the question is, do you light in the stairway, downstairs in the lobby? Do you light in the chadar ochel, you know? But Rav Avadi Yosef said, if you Sfardim, Rav Avadi Yosef works everything out well for Sfardim. If you're a Sfardi, you don't have to light the menorah at all, because, why? Because you're Yotze with your father, if you're being supported by your father, by your parents. If you're being supported by your family, you don't have to light the menorah. And even if you're not going to be there at their hadlaka, you don't have to light the menorah. Well, you shouldn't. I mean, you can light it, but not make a bracha. Don't make a bracha. And the Ashkenazim, they make a bracha even if they're not home. They go to yeshiva. They light their own menorah based on the Ramah that it became. And Rav Yashiv disagreed with Rav Avadi Yosef, and he. He said, no, the Sfardim also can make a bracha, because the idea that you yotze with your father's menorah is only if you're living at home. If you're living at home, even if the son is not going to be home at the time of the hadlaka. See, the son's going out on a date, and he's not going to be home for his father's hadlaka. So then Rav Avadi Yosef says, enjoy the date. You don't have to light. Rav Yashiv says, no. Rav Yashiv says, sorry. Both Rav Yashiv also agree. Rav Yashiv says, if you're on the date, you also could be Yotze with your father's hadlaka. But if you're in yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, or you're in yeshiva wherever, and you're not going to be home, you're not living at home, so then you can't be Yotze, even the Sfardim. That's what Rav Yashiv said. And Rav Yosef says, no. Even if you're not living at home, you're still being supported by your father, and you're in yeshiva now in Yerushalayim, wherever you are, you don't have to light the menorah. And the Ashkenazim, they treat it as their own chiyuv, like the Ramah, and they always light the menorah. But that's within the Sephardic tradition of lighting one menorah. The question is whether that's only if everyone is still living at home. In other words, if you're not being supported by your parents anymore, then you're on your own. Then you're not eating Neri Shubeso. It's all about being supported. Chanukah is all about being supported by your parents. That's what it's all about. Are you supported by your parents financially, or you're not supported by your parents? If you're supported by your parents financially, then you're part of their menorah for the Sfardim. The only question is, do you also have to be living at home to be part of that menorah or not? So Rav Avadi Yosef says it doesn't matter. You don't have to live at home. As long as you're still being supported by your parents, you're included in their hadlaka. And Rav Yashiv says, no, if you're not living at home, you can't be part of their menorah. So according to Rav Yashiv, even the Sephardic boy who's in yeshiva should light the menorah. Okay, so these are some interesting, there's so many halachas in the... So we spoke about the, Neri Shubeso, we spoke about Bezman Hazeh, how things changed, we spoke about the Beis Knesses, and why we light in the Beis Knesses, we spoke about whether you need 10 people at the time of the Hadlaka, and we spoke about the Machlokas between the Sfardim and Ashkenazim about the Malacha. Okay, now some Mile Da'agada. Chanukah is known as the Yontif of Torah Shebal Peh. What does that mean? It's the Yontif of Torah Shebal Peh. So it's based on the Gemara in Yuma and Daf Chav Tes, where the Gemara says that Chanukah is Lo Nitzon Likosiv. In other words, the Chanukah is the first holiday that's not part of Tanakh. It's not in the Chumash, the Tanakh. Right? Purim is still, in Ksuvim. But Chanukah is not in the written canon. It's not part of that. Right? It's after. You have Megillas Chashmonai, but that's not part of our Tanakh. So it's the first Yontif that's not in the Torah Shebichsav. So hence it's known as the Yontif of Torah Shabbat Peh. There's an interesting vort. Ufartzu chomos migdalai v'timu kol hashmanim. So what does the Mishnah say? That the Mishnah in Yadayim says that what? That that the Yevonim took 13 pierces in the Sorig. The Sorig was a divider in the Mikdash. That was really the divider where the Goyim versus the Jews could go. That was the divider. So they pierced 13 pierces in the in that Sorig, because they wanted to, they didn't want to be divided, that they're inferior to the Jews. But the Mishnah says 13 pierces in this Fartzu Chomos Migdalai. 13 pierces in the Sorig, in this divider. And what's the idea of the 13 pierces? So some explain that because Torah Shebal Peh is the Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah in Dreshes Bahen. That's Torah Shebal Peh. So therefore, and Torah Shebal Peh, the Gemara says in Gittin, is the unique relationship that Klal Yisrael has with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in Torah Shebal Peh. That's why it's Al Peh. Why is it Al Peh? Because we don't want the non-Jews to what? To co-opt it. It's a private thing between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's the first piece in Pachad Yitzchak of Chanukah. Rav Huttner writes that, I'm sure you all know from your learning, that there's a concept in the Gemara of Chasuri Mechsera, V'chachi Katani, that the Gemara will say, you know, this Mishnah, it really is missing like a line here and a line there. Who in the world writes something missing lines? Right? Chasuri Mechsera, right? What's the whole concept of Chasuri Mechsera? So Rav Huttner explained, because, you know, Bizman Azeh, we wrote down Torah Shebal Peh. Why? Because people would forget it. So we had to write it down. But we have a bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that it's only us and him, and not the Goyim, if we're going to write it down. So that's why even when it was written down in a way that you still needed a Masorah to understand it. So that's why we have a concept of Chasuri Mechsera, because we're allowed to write down Torah Shebal Peh Bizman Azeh, but it still has to be a little bit ambiguous. So this way, it'll still be a unique secret between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. And that's why it's Chasuri Mechsera. And that's why, but in Chanukah, the Goyim, that's the Yontif Torah Shebal Peh. So that makes them feel inferior, that they're not in on the secret, so to speak. So they did 13. Why 13? So that's what the Svarim explain. Because 13 is the Yud Gimel Midah Shatorah Nedreshes Bahem, which is the core of Torah Shebal Peh, and they didn't like that. Also, the Belzer Rebbe once said, one of the Belzer, I think Rav Sar Shalom of Belz, it's quoted in the Sefer Zichron Shmuel by Rav Shmelka Taubenfeld, who was a big gadol in his time. He says, how do you say a patch in Yiddish? A patch. A patch is a latte. It's a patch. So he says, that's the idea of latkes. It's not just the oil. It's not just the oil. And they look like a patch. We're patching up those 13 pierces. It looks like a patch. A latte is a latke. Is that idea that we want to patch up, and we want to patch up these breaches to reaffirm the idea that what? That there's a sorig, there's a divide between Klal Yisrael and the Umos Olam, that Klal Yisrael was given the Torah Shebal Peh. The Umos Olam, they read the Torah Shebichsav, but this special, unique relationship, Lokoras HaKadosh Baruch Hu Gittin Daf Samach, Lokoras HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bris, in Klal Yisrael, Ella B'Torah Shebal Peh. And that's Chanukah, Torah Shebal Peh. And in fact, the whole idea that the Shemen was Tomei was a Din D'Rabbanan, the Tosfos says. So this is all about Torah Shebal Peh. It's all about post-Tanakh. This is the holiday of beginning. We're going, like Rav Yosef Rabinowitz said, we're going from the concept of the Nevi'im now to the period of the Chachamim. That this is the Mesorah, this is Torah Shebaal Peh, this is no longer Nevuah, and that's where we're holding. Oh, so we said that this week's Parsha, you know, is special for me. I told you, I'm a Parsha Tzvayeshev Shabbos Chanukah person. No Miketz. So, I'll say over the following. Then what is Torah Shebaal Peh about? Torah Shebaal Peh is all a dialogue. All of Shas is one big dialogue. Right? Someone says a kasha, someone brings a raya, asks a kasha. It's a whole, all of Shas is one dialogue. And that's what the Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal, Rav Chaim Golvich, Rav Chaim Yaakov Golvich of Kerem Yavne, he always used to say from Rav Chaim Volozhina, Shnaim she'oiskim ve'ein beinayim divrei Torah, ha'reizem moshav leitzim. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, if two people are sitting and they're not speaking Divrei Torah, it's Moshev Leitzim. So the Rosh Hashiva Zatzal would say, he doesn't understand. Why is this Moshev Leitzim? If two people are sitting and they're not speaking and learning, Moshev Leitzim, he always would say the following. He would give this mashal. He would say it in Hebrew, but I'll say it in English. He would say, to me, Moshev Leitzim means you have a bunch of people in a room, their feet are on the table, they're drinking beer, and they're you know, being frivolous. That's a Moshev Leitzim. Have two people learn sitting and talking, they're not speaking Divrei Torah, that's a Moshev Leitzim. So Rav Chaim Volozhina said, no, you misunderstood the Mishnah. Moshev Shnaim Sheyoshvim Be'ein Beinayim Divrei Torah. The key word to understand the Mishnah is Beinayim, meaning there was no dialogue. It means everyone learned, but no one wanted to discuss it with his fellow Chavrusa. He didn't, and no one cared what anyone else had to say. They had their idea. There was no Beinehim. There was no dialogue. That's a Moshev Leitzim. Because Rav Futna used to say, what does the Gemara say in Megillah? Kol Leitzanusa Asira Lamarbi Leitzanusa Davodazara. Leitzanus means when you take something Choshev and you mach Choizik from it. You make fun of it. That's what Leitzanus is. So Moshev Leitzim means because everyone had something Choshev to say, but no one wanted to listen. The whole dialogue was broken down. So Torah Shebaal Peh is the opposite of that. Torah Shebaal Peh is a Rava says something and Abaye says something and he brings a Raya, but everyone's taking everyone seriously. Whether you agree or disagree, there's a dialogue. And Rabosai, that's Parshas Vayeshev. Because I'll tell you something. Rav Yosef, Rav Yonison Eibshitz says the whole idea of the sinner between Yosef, you know, the brothers and Yosef, was one pasuk. What's the pasuk? Lo yachru dabro l'shalom. That they hated Yosef, but they wouldn't talk about it. There was no dialogue. Lo yachru dabro l'shalom. And that caused all the problems. That caused Golus Mitzrayim. And that caused everything, all the Golus. So what's the rectification of Lo yachru dabro l'shalom? How do you fix that up? That's Torah Shebaal Peh. That's how some explain. That's Torah Shebaal Peh. Because Torah Shebaal Peh is all about dialogue. It's all about Shnayim Sheyoshim V'yesh Beinayim Divrei Torah. That there's a dialogue. People want to hear the other opinion. Whether you agree or disagree. But still, you want to hear, you want to discuss. And that's the, as someone pointed out, that's the tikkun for the Chayt of Mechiras Yosef. Mechiras Yosef is all about that one pasuk. Yonason Eifshitz says in the Sefer Tiferes Yonason, one pasuk, Lo Yachru Dabro L'Shalom. That they wouldn't, in other words, Yosef was, they were, you know, had an animosity towards him, but there was never a conversation, a discussion. If there would have been a discussion, then all the hatred would have been dissipated because they would have spoken it out. They were spoken out, and therefore that's what Torah Shebaal Peh is all about. Torah Shebaal Peh is all about this Bein Odom Mechaveru, is the dialogue Bein Odom Mechaveru. So especially when Shabbos Chanukah comes out, Tafka Ad Vayeshev, it heightens the importance of this idea of Yosef and the brothers. Because the Meshech Chochmah says that every Yom Kippur, what do we say in Davening Yom Kippur? Ki atah solchon liYisrael umochalon lishivta yishurun. We're still asking Mechila for what? for the Shifta Yeshurun, for the brothers and their hatred towards Yosef. That is the ultimate Avera Ben Adam L'Chavero. And every Yom Kippur, we're still asking Mechila for that. Mochalon L'Shifta Yeshurun. And that's the famous Rabbeinu Bechaya, that the Asari who Harike Malchus was because of this. And even though Rabbeinu Bechaya says an unbelievable thing, he says, even though Yosef says, don't worry, right? You know, you thought bad, but Hashem turned out good. Rabbeinu Bechaya says, but he never really was Meichel. He said not to worry, but he was never fully Meichel. And that still lingered on with Yosef and the brothers. It was never fully rectified, and we still have to go and ask Mechila every, and that's a tremendous Musar Haskil, that this chait, and that's why it's some Mefarshim explain that the Seder we do tibulim because vayitbulu asaktonas. It's still the ktonas pasim that was dipped into the blood. It's all reverberating, and it's all because lo yochu dabro l'shalom. And Chanukah is the time that we heighten Torah Shabbal Peh. It's all about dibur. It's all about and the Rav Yaakov Emden says that. The bracha of Neiris Chanukah is more important than any other bracha. Because normally brachas are not ma'akev. If you did a mitzvah, you didn't say the bracha, so it's not the best thing in the world, but it's not ma'akev. But he says, by Neiris Chanukah, it's if you don't say the bracha, we're not going to know that it's Neiris Chanukah. The bracha is an integral part. It could be that the bracha there is more ma'akev than in other mitzvahs, because then you'll say, Neiris Chanukah, if people think you're just doing it to light up the room, then so that's why we have to articulate it. And that's why Rav Yaakov Emden says in the Morach Tzia, we have to say, make a bracha, Asher Kedushanu B'Mesosaf. And that's Torah Shabbal Peh. And that's why some have the minhag. I don't have this minhag, I don't know if you do. But how do you make the bracha? Asher Kedushanu B'Mesosaf Tzivanu Lahadlik Ner Chanukah or Ner Shel Chanukah? I brought up as a kid, it doesn't fit in the niggin if you don't say Shel. Lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah, right? But the Arizal says no. You should say what? Ner Chanukah. Why? Let's count. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam Asher Kiddushanu B'Mitzvosav V'Tzivanu L'Hadlik Ner Chanukah. If you say Ner Chanukah, it's 13. If Ner Shel Chanukah, it's 14. The Arizal says no. You have to leave out the shell. I'm not telling you to do this because if it's not your meaning, you shouldn't do this. But it's good for the drasha now. Shell. Because if it's Shel, then it's 14. Ner Chanukah is 13. Because we want that there should be 13. We want to heighten the idea of the Yud Gimel Midosh HaTorah Nidreshes Mem. And we know the Magid of Mezuz says that the Yud Gimel Midosh HaTorah Nidreshes Mem is connected to the Yud Gimel Midosh HaRachamim. And that's what we need. And then Chanukah is all about Yud Gimel Midosh Torah Shabbal Peh. And that's why in the Bracha, we want that the Dafka should be 13 words. And that's why the Arizal said, leave out Shel. I'm not telling you to do it. If it's not your minhag, don't do it. But that was his idea, not to have Shel Chanukah. Lahadlik Ner Chanukah. And that's the idea. So Rabosai, as we approach, now we've already started the Yontif of Chanukah. It's a beautiful Yontif of Torah Shabbal Peh. And there's so much Torah on Chanukah. There's so much Torah, the Beis Yosef's Kasha, there are other Kashas, there's so much to say on Chanukah. We should, when I was in Keren B'Yavna, the Rosh Hashiva every night would give a drasha on the Nasi of the Yom. In other words, he would give the one on Yisachar, and so whatever the Nasi that we're reading in the parashah, he would give a drasha on the Nasi of Yom. And then tomorrow is Yisachar, and Yisachar is Torah. And that's the idea that Yisachar represents the okay. I'm not going to give the whole drasha now because we're already out of time. But there's so much to say, and we should all be mekabel Torah Shabbal Peh and heighten our Torah Shabbal Peh. And I wish you a good Shabbos and a Freilich Chanukah and a Kol Tov.
Thank you very much. Good Shabbos, Freilich Chanukah. Thank you, George. Okay. Well.